Welcome to another episode of Scientology Fair Game. Hi, Mikey.
Hi, Lily. How are you today?
Good. I mean, today, even though we're talking about the name of our podcast, the Scientology Fair Game, we don't always talk about Scientology, but Scientology-like
stuff.
Shit.
Yeah, exactly.
And we have two wonderful guests with us today.
We do.
Mike, you want to do the honors?
Yes, ma'am. We're very happy to welcome Nicole Norton and Becky Lovell, who are going to talk to us today about the Rama Institute for Applied Yogic Science and Technology. Nicole and Becky, it's lovely to have you with us.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you so much. We're so happy to be here. Thanks for having us.
Of course. You want to go through the history here, like how we know each other, but also what your roles were in this organization?
So for me, my name's Nicole. I work directly for Katie Griggs, also known as Guru Jagat, who is or was the head of Rama Yoga Institute. I was her personal assistant and the assistant to the chief of staff, Shebid Preet, for about a year. And then after that, for about a year, I was the director, the manager for their flagship studio. Mm-hmm. While still being manager, I still had a lot of ins and outs of everything else that was going on. I was still helping creating camps and workshops, and I still had my hand in everything else while still running the studio. So I was personal assistant for about a year and then manager of the flagship studio for about a year before I left.
And Becky, how did you guys connect, you and Nicole?
I began talking to Nicole shortly after I had started this Instagram account where people could come forward anonymously mm-hmm. if they wished, or, you know, stick their name on it if they wanted, with their experiences, either working for these people or participating in trainings, coming to classes as students, whatever the capacity. I noticed a lot of people were having their stories erased from comment sections online. They were occasionally posting stories in communities related to this type of yoga. But I started that Instagram account, and Nicole sent me a voice message a few days later, very similar to the one she sent both of you. And I was so taken by how grateful she said she was that this existed, and mm-hmm. how I could tell she was really still in the thick of it and still processing what had happened to her. So for me, that was like, wow, this is so much more urgent than I realized it was. I didn't know to what extent people were suffering that were still trying to grapple with their experiences with these people. So we got on a phone call. I think we talked for about 3 hours, and she had a lot to say that just blew my mind. I didn't know a lot about what was going on here at all. And she made it really clear that it was way more intense than I had thought. And she said that she wanted to be on the back end of this account with me. And I realized that if we put our different skill sets together and also used her real experience being right at the center of all this mm-hmm. to help, corroborate stories, reach out to people who had been involved, that was incredibly useful. And this would all be even more of a service for people who felt strongly about coming forward and owning their stories and what did happen to them.
And you two are advocates so that it doesn't happen again.
Yeah. I mean, it's not even just that it doesn't happen again in the Kundalini world. Mm-hmm. It's that it doesn't happen again in the yoga world. It doesn't happen again in other spaces all around, because cults like this can happen anywhere. Mm-hmm. It can happen in Hollywood. It can happen it can literally happen anywhere. And once you're open and vulnerable and you're looking to create a better life for yourself, that's when things can come in and kind of ruin that. And that's when you get on that path. One of the things that I hate that a lot of people will message us and DM us and be like, how stupid was I that I thought that I was like, that this was helping me, or how stupid am I to be in a cult? And I take that as a direct offense, because I'm not stupid. I'm not unintelligent, but yet I was in it as well. Right. So I think that one of the main messages that through this Instagram, one of the main messages through this Instagram that I really want to support is like, this can literally happen to anybody at any point in their life.
Sure. For me, when I see these people being featured in magazines known for solid reporting and journalistic integrity, and I see billion-dollar publishing companies releasing books by these people, and I'm saying buy in air quotes because they may not even be written by them. Uh-huh. This is how we render these people legitimate and their actions acceptable. Mm-hmm. And I know with Scientology, like when they became a tax exempt organization, mm-hmm. that gave Scientology a lot more legitimacy to the outside world, or maybe that's at least what was supposed to happen. But you know, things like this, when they go unchecked by organizations that exist to hold things to high standards, they're simply not doing the best they can. And I think that the people who enable this every step of the way within these organizations are responsible and should be held responsible just as much as the folks within these cults who are abusing people.
I had sleep deprivation. I had just all of the other things. And I've seen / heard physical abuse. I personally didn't have it, but I was around all that. So for Becky to be completely on the fringe and have an inkling that this is wrong, I couldn't let somebody do that by themselves, not knowing the depth of how much abuse really goes on. And then also being there for the people that are bringing their stories to this account, not to say that I'm like the person to validate their experience, but just as you guys heard me and saw me, I wanted to give that to them.
Right.
We've been working on this Rama Wrong account. And through that account, we found out from some very, very reliable sources that one of the main people, his name is Hadi Jeevan, aka Steve, when he was in jail for fraud, he learned about Scientology and used that kind of as, with his knowledge with Yogi Bhajan, which I'm sure we'll get into, he used that kind of as a blueprint for what he's currently doing and to kind of start his own version of a cult. Mm-hmm. So when I found that out, things just started clicking in my head. And I personally reached out to Leah and Mike through their Instagram accounts in a blubbery mess, just kind of realizing and connecting all the dots and how Scientology kind of worked its way into what I was learning with Kundalini. And lo and behold, you guys got back to me, which I'm still shocked about, but I could not be more grateful for you guys.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for reaching out to us and you know,
trusting us.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my goodness. Just the fact that I was heard and seen was just such a big deal. And then a few months later, now we're here. It's just inconceivable. I'm just so grateful and so beyond. Every time I even think that this is happening, it's just, I'm so grateful for you guys. Yeah. So that's how we met.
All right. And so why don't we talk about the history and your guys' history, how you guys came together. I think we should start there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Becky, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure thing. So I started this Instagram account, but I did that with an intention to help facilitate something that was already going on. Just it was already happening in a way that was really fragmented and not cohesive at all.
Okay.
And you know, when in activism, when you think about it, what's more effective? Is it a person standing alone on a street corner with a sign, or lots and lots of people not just assembling, not just sharing, but corroborating each other's accounts? I saw that there were a lot of people coming forward about abuse that they had experienced firsthand in this organization and in connected organizations that all have something to do with Kundalini yoga, which is something that's marketed to a lot of people who are not necessarily even looking for a spiritual practice. It's mm-hmm. it's something that I would say a lot of like wellness people, yoga people who are exploring like any of those spaces and spaces related to those, they can sort of get wrapped up in this organization or parts of these organizations.
So Becky, but what is it? Like, what are we talking about here? Just for people who know nothing about this or not, you know, watching the news or, you know, on these sites. I mean, what is it?
Yeah. So I would say a lot of what this is originated in the late 60s, got a lot more solid in the early 70s uh-huh. as someone who went by Yogi Bhajan came to Canada and the United States from
India,
you know, the East. And yeah. he was credited then with bringing Kundalini yoga to the West. And a lot of people were attracted to him and his style of teaching mm-hmm. And providing teachings, which I guess are like spiritual doctrine. And he kind of pulled people into his orbit using manipulative tactics, and people got kind of trapped in this way of living, but didn't necessarily recognize that they were trapped at all.
Well, that happens in any abusive organization or cult. But what I want to set up first is, what is RAMA, Institute for Applied Yoga Science and Technology? What does it promote that it is?
Wow. Nicole, would you like to answer
that? Yeah, I can totally answer that. So
you'll notice as we try to explain these things, like there's a lot here. It's really near impossible to boil a lot of these points down in a way that's succinct
sure.
and clear. But
well, we have the same problem with Scientology.
No, but yes. we can say what Scientology promotes itself as a religious organization that will help you to acknowledge your cause of your own life. You are the source of your own power, and Scientology sells that you have this bad part of your mind that only Scientology knows to unlock and free, so that you could be more causative and not, right? And then eventually Scientology sells that, you know, you'll be able to have special powers, that you'll be able to go into your next lifetime remembering everything. You'll have full perceptions, full memories, your eternity, you know, you're freeing up your eternity, basically. And so, you know, I could explain it in those terms. So, Nicole, I mean, why were you attracted to this? What is this? What was being sold to you?
So RAMA Institute for Applied Yogic Technologies is very much that. They believe that they are yoga, which Kundalini is a part of, like the overall yoga, vinyasa, all these things. But Kundalini by Yogi Bhajan is more specific. So it's his teachings, his practices, his everything that he ever wanted you to be, that's what this is. So RAMA is a stem from that. So Steve, aka Hari Jeevan, was one of Yogi Bhajan's followers. He was in one of the closer circles. He'll say he was like his right hand man, but I'm not entirely sure that's true.
Not entirely sure. He's one of the closest in one of the like inner circles, period. It's up for debate.
Yeah. So after Steve went to jail for fraud because of Yogi Bhajan and other fraudulent activities that they were doing, Yogi Bhajan dies. Steve needs something. He needs to be the center of attention. He's trying to figure out how he can make money in this Kundalini world because that's all he knows. So fast forward a couple of years, we're at Golden Bridge, which is one of the first places that Yogi Bhajan created, like yoga institutes, yoga centers. And he's a teacher there and he's trying to find who can be like the charismatic front person while he manages everything in behind. A couple of people, he reached out to a couple of people. They're like, "Ew, no, get away from me." And he found then Katie Griggs, AKA Guru Jagat. And he finds Guru Joss, AKA Sarah. So he gets these two people. Sarah can sing. Katie has the charisma. He gets Katie to then create Rama Yoga Institute. So now they have a location where they can practice, they can gain more followers. And Katie is very vibrant, very, like I said, her aura, as they would say, is like larger than life. Like she can hold space for a lot of people. So she's so very dynamic. People are just drawn to her. So Rama Yoga Institute for Applied Rama Yoga Institute was basically designed so they have a place, like an actual location outside of 3HO, which is like the covering of Kundalini Yoga by Yogi Bhajan. So they're actually kind of like, they're within 3HO, but 3HO doesn't like them.
Oh, gotcha. And what attracted you to this, Nicole?
That's a fun story. I mean, what attracts anybody to something that they want to like learn and grow? I was in a very vulnerable position in my life. I just turned 30. I quit my job. I didn't have a job lined up. I just finished my 200 hours teacher training for yoga. So I knew of Kundalini, but I'd never practiced Kundalini. I had no idea who Katie was until she came into the Pilates studio that I was working at the time.
On your very last day.
Yeah, Cosmic Events, my very last day I was working there. I didn't have a job lined up. I was scared. I was vulnerable. I was searching to do more with my life. I wanted to be a part of yoga. I wanted to travel. I wanted to be super spiritual and have that be part of my everyday world. And then I had this person offering me a position where I could travel with her. I could learn new yogic technologies, quote unquote, yogic technologies. And I could dive deeper in self-growth. And like, I would have a mission on this planet versus just like wandering out there and have a 9-to-5 job that I'm not happy with.
Right.
So after I met her, my very last day, the very last class, she actually came in early, which she was always late and she was always on her phone. People that know her or knew her know she's always on her phone. She's always late. So she came in early. She wasn't on her phone. I looked at that as like fate. I need to tell this woman that who I kind of know who she is. I need to tell her that I'm not going to be working here anymore. And maybe somehow I can work with her or she might know somebody or whatever. She asked me to come to a class. I went to a class and I was completely overwhelmed by it. But it was still interesting to me. It was yoga. It was just different yoga. So I was very open-minded about the whole process.
What was different about it? I mean, I don't know much about yoga. If it means sitting and being quiet, I can't do it.
Perhaps you can back up a bit, Nicole, because I'm a complete dummy on this subject.
Same.
What is it that, like, what's the attraction? Is it supposed to be it makes you feel physically calm and peaceful? Is it supposed to be mental stuff to make
probably
you
both, right?
Clearer? What is it?
All of the above?
Yeah, no, all of the above. Like anything you want it to be, they have a meditation or a kriya or something for it. So anything you're looking for.
It's a real bombarding of the senses. It's there's really little room for you to continue to be exactly who you are when you continue doing these like practices over and over. because it's so prescriptive. There's a lot of there's a lot to do it perfectly, and little time to do anything else if you're doing all of those things.
Yeah.
Right. So in Scientology, there's this saying, when someone new comes into Scientology, they say, oh, well, you know, I need help with X, Y, or Z. And the pat answer is Scientology can help you with that. Is that kind of the same thing here?
Absolutely.
You come in and say, I'm stressed, or my knees are aching, or I can't talk to girls, or whatever. They'll say, oh, well, you're in the right place because we've got an answer for that.
Absolutely. We have a Kriya, we have a workshop, we have a camp.
What's a Kriya?
So a Kriya in like a vinyasa yoga. So if you just think about yoga in general, you're thinking of like going to a yoga studio, going through some asanas, some postures. Maybe you do a little breath work. Maybe you do a little meditation, but it's more flowing. In Kundalini, it's not so much flowing, but what we would say is a sequence in yoga. They call it a Kriya. So it's very similar, where you have to do A, B, C, D in order perfectly as it's prescribed.
And then do it a million times. Not really, but for a certain amount of minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what we would consider a Kriya. And you have to do it perfectly, because if you don't do it perfectly, then you're not going to get it. But you don't know if you're actually doing it perfectly. It's messy.
But here's my thing. So, Nicole, I mean, obviously, this is not what people might be thinking, and Becky, this is not you're going in for a yoga class, you come in with your mats and your little outfits, and you have your water bottle, and you do the little poses, the dog down thing, and the whatever, and that shit, right? So it's more than that, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit, it's familiar, but different. So it's familiar. So you're bringing in your, in this case, it would be a sheepskin instead of your yoga mat.
That's important change. That's a big change.
So it's a sheepskin because it's a white sheepskin that helps radiate your aura. That's part. That's a very basic description of why they use a sheepskin. Then you want to be fully clothed in white. You don't have to be, but you should be, because you want to radiate your aura out and you want only positive things coming into you. And then on top of that, ideally, if you're like the perfect little yogi here, then you have your head wrapped in a turban, ideally a white, if not a light color turban. So you have men and women that are wearing all white, sitting cross-legged on their sheepskins with their tea in front of them, maybe a notebook, and have their head wrapped in a turban. Because that's supposed to help bring the energy straight down into your being.
Which is terribly offensive.
Yeah, the cultural appropriation of it all is just extensive.
But at the time, because we all could, you know, look back on it and go, how horrible, because we were in a cult as well. So we get that, you know, this, but this is, seems like it's helping people. It's helping you, Nicole, Becky. Your involvement in this is what?
As for me, I was not personally really involved in either 3HO mm-hmm. or Rama. I never actually went to a class at Rama in my life, mm-hmm. But I was on mailing lists. I noticed their social media presence. I, you know, kind of kept tabs on what was going on in yoga in general. Because I just, it was pretty much as much as that. I just wanted to be kept in the loop and know about any workshops that would be interesting to me. Possibly just, you know, engage with parts that worked for me and leave the rest. Mm-hmm. But over time, I did attend some Kundalini yoga classes mm-hmm. and, at, you know, different studios, and I did enjoy the way they made me feel very euphoric. Mm-hmm. However, I Googled around a bit and I started to uncover what there's a lot more about online now, which is that there was an extensive history of abuse in Kundalini yoga over the 70s, 80s, 90s, and onward. Because a lot of people's behaviors take on like the personality of the cult in its entirety. A big part of what's going on right now in this whole space, this the larger conversation is, should this, you know, larger corporation that controls all of the for-profit and nonprofit businesses that are linked to Yogi Bhajan, should they be shut down or should they be held accountable? Who should be held accountable? Who mm-hmm. who is actually responsible? Who's still still alive? So there's a lot of talk in yoga right now about what should be happening. And it's been interesting to see that, you know, since Rama has become a thing and kind of splintered off from this main larger organization or cult, a lot of the things that have happened at Rama mirror exactly what happened throughout the late 60s, 70s, 80s, and onward. Just with different people.
So it's not just kind of this innocuous little yoga studio, right? Let's talk about what actually happens once somebody's fully indoctrinated into this cult.
Of course.
What does it mean to be part of this?
So there's different levels. And I'm not entirely familiar with Scientology in this aspect, but it may be similar. You can come and go. And mm-hmm. just come to a couple classes, that's great. But we are always pushing, we're always trying to sell you like, oh, you are tired, come to this workshop. Oh, you were this, come to this, whatever. We have a workshop for that. We have a Kriya, we have whatever for that. So once we get you to start coming to more and more and more, and spending more and more and more, we're telling you that you need this crystal, you need this necklace, you need this, you need that. So again, we're getting you to spend more and more and investing more time, more energy. And there's a lot of manipulation and rhetoric and word salads that kind of just confuse you. And you feel like you're good because you just did this breathing exercise and now you're a little high. So you feel good and like whatever. So you start coming to workshops and then you start wanting to go. This particular Rama is mainly females. So one thing that Yogi Bhajan did is he called himself an intersectional feminist. So he would put on women's camps. So Hari Jeevan and Guru Jagat wanted to capitalize on that. So they started putting together women's camps. So they start doing these camps. So now we got you going into the camp. So now you're spending a couple thousand dollars to go to this camp where we have you for an entire weekend. And you're doing yoga from literally 3 a.m. sadhana straight through to like 11, 12 o'clock at night, maybe even later if there's like a party or something going on at night. And then you have to wake up and do it all over again. We have you at these camps. These camps are also comprised of, she has a three-tier system for her women's programming. She has AWLS, Aquarian Women Leadership Program.
Society. The use of the word society always gets me. As does Institute.
That's a whole nother thing. Aquarian Women Leadership Society, where it's low, what's the word I'm looking for? You don't have to pay. It's like $50 a month or something like that, or $55, because they're always trying to manipulate the numbers. It's like $55 a month and you have online content and you get invited to the camp, but you need to pay to go to the camp. So you're getting that monthly and you have a community. So you feel like you're part of this family. You feel like you're part of this community. These people get you. The people on the outside don't get this. Like it's like a spiritual elitism. You feel like you're part of this.
But to argue the point, what's wrong with people being part of something that they feel good in, something they feel, you know, they're willingly going, they're going to a weekend to get spiritual, get connected. Because people are going to say, that doesn't sound bad, right? I mean, a lot of us do like spiritual camps and stuff.
No, and I guess on the outside, it's not bad. It's the rhetoric that's inside. And for the people directly in it, they're having positive experiences. And I can't deny that. I think it's more where the abuse comes from is behind the closed doors, even though it's not always closed doors. The abuse comes to the people like myself who are working day in and day out 24/7, who are on a 1099, but expected to work literally 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365. Mm-hmm. Like me wanting to like teach a different yoga class, or because I'm on a 1099, so I'm contracted, right? I don't have a schedule. So me wanting to go teach a vinyasa class, or I was doing assistant work for somebody else at the time, if I was to leave, I was considered not devotional enough to my teacher. If mm-hmm. I didn't want to do something, I was considered not devotional enough. It just gets to it gets to a point where you're literally being broken down when you're inside. As a client, mm-hmm. the abuse comes through money, through trying to take as much as they possibly can from you.
Right, because you're constantly, the followers are constantly encouraged to donate, not only increasing amount of time, but money.
Mm-hmm.
You're indoctrinated just as most cults are, the us versus them mentality.
100%.
Nicole, you told us that there was screaming, blaming, a lot of pitting people against each other within the company, mm-hmm. and controlling your whole life. Just, you were like in the sewer, like Mike was. These people just sound the same as parishioners, you know, having to devote all of their time over time and money. You're told what to eat, when to sleep, who you could talk to, who you can see. You're sleep deprived.
Don't go to the doctors. Psychiatrists are evil.
Yeah, no, because there's a meditation for whatever's ailing you. And it's your subconscious that's ailing you. Like, everything came down to your subconscious. It was always your fault that something was going on. And you needed to do this meditation to get rid of it. You need to come to this workshop to get rid of it or whatever. It was a very chaotic and disorganized way of working. Things were constantly changing. Events would pop up out of the blue, and then you would get yelled at because you're waiting for information from them, but they're not giving you the information. And like, there was a lot of swearing all, like, I'm so numb to people texting me in all capital letters at this point, because it was just so prevalent
every day.
I was getting yelled at every day. I was getting screamed at. Fuck you. Fuck this. You're all fucking idiots. Like, it's just every day. And a lot of it would be behind closed doors, but sure, some of it would be in the studio and people see it. Like, mm-hmm. even people that are completely in it and they don't see it happening to them, they mm-hmm. see it happening to other people.
Sure.
Yeah.
That list of things, you mentioned that Hadjian, or however you say his name.
Hadjian.
Hadjian. Steve.
Steve.
Had studied Scientology when he was in prison.
Yeah.
And honestly, when you recount, well, this is how they go about doing things. They offer you this. They tell you they've got the solution for that. They keep you up all night. They tell you what you can eat and not go to the doctor because the problem is your subconscious, blah, 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 blah. This is Scientology 101 in different words. The mm-hmm. words are just used differently. The jargon of the guru world is different than the jargon of the Scientology world, but the concepts are basically identical.
Absolutely. I would use dominated. Like, they dominated my space and time, in a sense that they, like, I didn't have time to have a life outside of them. I didn't have, like, everything I did was like thinking about what her next move was, so I could make sure she was the center of attention. Like, she would even say, this is the Guru Jagat show. Like, everything's about me, kind of thing, which I understand to a degree, especially being an assistant and like all these things. So I justified a lot of it, but at the same mm-hmm. time, I didn't have time to sit there and contemplate it. I didn't have time to think about the abuse and the harassment and all the stuff that was going on, because I'm mm-hmm. getting text messages at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning screaming and yelling that something didn't get it done.
Right.
I think my very first experience with them, a couple of them are very telling. So my very first week, they were doing a show called, she has a reality riffing show. It's like her version of a podcast. In that very first week, they wanted me to read a book called The Palladians. Now, going back to what you're talking about, indoctrination. So the Palladians are an alien species that's supposed to be looking out for the humans on this planet, specifically in regards to the reptilians on this planet who are like in the government and they're trying to control and manipulate all the humans and like destroy the humans and make the humans their slaves. So the Palladians are the good ones, right? Mm-hmm. So in this book that I had to read, it kind of explained all of that and went over it. And then in her reality riffing episode, she also wanted to get a real human Palladian because the Palladians are on this earth walking around and they're supposed to be like humans, but you can kind of tell what, if that it's really an alien.
There are a lot of air quotes going on here for the listeners.
So that was one of my first experiences. Now, keep in mind, I was never a fangirl. Most of the people that she hired to be with her had already known who she was. They were already like looking at her with rose-colored glasses, especially Steve, because Steve was like her mentor, right? Who we also call the puppet master, because everything had to go through him, which goes back to very interesting that she calls herself this huge feminist when she's really taking orders from a guy. But that was one of my first experiences, is that I had to learn about these Palladians and the reptilian people. Mm. And then later on that week, I had my very first meeting with them. And one of the women was pregnant with her first child. And Katie just ripped into her. And I don't even remember what it was for. All I remember is that she was saying, "You're a fucking idiot. Fuck you. How could you do this to me?" Like a lot of very narcissistic mm-hmm. verbiage.
Abuse.
Yeah. And like, keep in mind, this woman is pregnant. So it was just like, you know that all that is going to affect in some way, shape, or form, especially the nervous system for herself and the baby. And everybody just had their heads down in their phones or writing or taking notes or on their computer. Like mm-hmm. this was normal. Mm-hmm. It was just normalized. And I was so taken back. And I'm like, well, maybe there's something I don't get. Maybe there's something that I don't understand. So I always tried to justify it to some degree, but sure. still I wasn't a fangirl. I was never a student of hers before I started working for her. So I still had this element of questioning.
Right. And then you left?
I was getting silenced. It took me about a year to leave. There was a month where I was traveling with her. January 2019, I was traveling with her chief of staff, Shebid Preet, a.k.a. Lily, and a couple other people. And we were traveling around, and there was a moment when we were in Spain. And when we were in Paris, I didn't have juice in the fridge. So I got yelled at for not having juice in the fridge. Then I bought juice, put it in the fridge, and then I got yelled at because I'm clearly like attacking her and taking out my mommy issues on her because I bought too much juice and now I'm trying to just spend all her money. So it was like this sense that there was nothing that I could ever do would be right. I was right. always wrong. It didn't matter. And it was always my fault I was wrong.
Right.
So it was just like that constant. So then we're in Spain because she has a studio in Spain. So we're on Mallorca in Spain and we're there for like 2 weeks. And the very last day she got furious with us because we didn't have somebody come clean her Airbnb when we were explicitly told, do not have anybody come to my Airbnb. This is my sanctuary. Do not have anybody come. And she is notorious for trashing places. Like I did all her packing. I did like between the three of us, I should say me, Shebid Preet, Hudmanjot, Lily, Allie, the three of us would make sure that all her wants and needs were always taken care of. She didn't drive anywhere. She absolutely did nothing for herself. We were doing all of it, which I thought was normal. It's not, but I thought it was. So when this happened, I was just so taken back and like flabbergasted. Like you specifically said, you didn't want anybody there. And now you're yelling at us because you have candle wax all in the rug. And you're going to get charged a cleaning fee for your Airbnb. So that night, we have a million and other things that we're working on because camp was right around the corner. So Lily and I are at our apartment with like five other people sleeping on beds, people sleeping on floors because she doesn't want to pay for us to sleep anywhere because we have an apartment. Okay, I get it. Lily ends up staying up till like 3 o'clock in the morning when we had to get up at 4. I ended up staying up till like 2. Because we had other stuff because there's always something happening. There's literally no stop, no chill. working weekends, working holidays, even though she says we're not going to, there's a lot of talk, but it's like constantly working, constantly in the thick of it.
Right.
So that morning we get up and we get to the airport early because we need to get her tickets. We need to make sure that when we get there, we immediately grab her luggage because her and her now husband, they're not responsible for touching their luggage. We have to carry their luggage. We have to do literally everything. Like, she's an A-lister, all these things. So we're there waiting. And I told Shabid Preet probably the night before, if not that morning, how much do you want to bet she changes her flight? Because she doesn't want to wake up. Because this is a consistent thing that would happen. We'd finally be able to book a flight for her, get yelled at for it being too expensive because it was a late time in booking the flight, and then finally book the flight for her, and then last minute she'll cancel it or change it or whatever. She gave us a call. She said she wanted to sleep in, that we needed to cancel her flight and rebook her for the next one. So that kind of really got to me. And then once Shabid Preet and I landed, I believe is the Madrid airport, both of us went off. Mm-hmm. And we were tired, we're hungry, we're pissed off because now this woman is like taking advantage of our time and all these things. And I told Shabid Preet right then and there, I will not be, by the end of this year, I will not be here. But it literally took me till the end of 2019, December, to give them my notice. And that's only because I got in a car accident. And then my dad offered to have me move back home where I could like have a job with him working on our family business.
Thank God.
Thank God. Exactly. Because if I got another job or I applied to another job, it would be, you're not devotional enough. There's a lot of promises that would happen. And it gets sucked in. Lily Shabid Preet quit. They say they don't fire, they don't hire, but they fired her three times and rehired her three times. And she has been in it for years and mm-hmm. years at this point. So like, even though she got out, she still got sucked back in. One of my mm-hmm. other colleagues, I won't say her name because I'm not sure if she wants me to or not, but one of my other colleagues quit twice. And they brought her back. Finally, she's out of it now. But just like with her, the only reason why I didn't get sucked back into it is because I physically moved out of the state.
Right. You needed. Yeah.
And even towards the end, when they know I'm moving for my family, mm-hmm. I still was told I wasn't devotional enough and that this is my spiritual path. What are you doing? You're a disappointment. And then, of course, not trusting me anymore because I'm no longer in that inner circle.
Let me ask you, if there is someone that's not in the position that you were in, like they're not working full time in the Rama Institute, mm-hmm. what do you want people to know? What are you trying to warn people about that they should be aware of? What abuses of what situation? What is it that, because there's not that many people, as I understand it, who are employees. So what do you want the general person that might walk into one of these yoga studios to know is going on here that they should be aware of?
And to add on to what Mike said, I mean, you have celebrity endorsing. You have mm-hmm. celebrities endorsing this organization. So what do you want people to know?
I would say it can be boiled down the most by saying people are taking away years of other people's lives here. It's not just about people defrauding people with a hunger for like Eastern spirituality and enlightenment. It's not just about people fostering a culture of abuse and secrecy. It's about people like getting their claws into other people and not letting them go. And when that happens and people finally do leave, they have all the wreckage to deal with. And we have more and more examples of that happening now because of the account. Or rather, we can see those examples. There is more and more proof.
Because people are speaking up.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. There's like a spiritual contract that you have to sign or, you know, agree to when you get on this path, and you're not breaking that or breaking like something sacred that you have with your partner if you do that for your teacher. So I think like, as far as there are some things that, you know, they'll like move the goalposts and change up the teachings as they mm-hmm. see fit.
Which they're currently doing now.
For the folks on the outside who are considering taking up yoga with a group like this, it may just appear to be a yoga school or lineage that is super legitimate, and there's a lot there, and it will make you feel like a more whole, like authentic version of yourself. But really, as Nicole just described, there's like so much more going on.
For me, I wish I would have asked more questions, and I wish I would have followed my gut. I think that's one of the things that I hear over and over again from people that DM the account is, well, I felt that it wasn't good, but they just told me all these things that I wanted to hear. So I believed them. Mm-hmm. So for me, I felt it, I saw it, and I was still justifying it. So for me, I want people to question it. And if it's anything like it is with Rama, they will either deny it. They'll tell you, they'll gaslight you. They'll tell you you're crazy. Mm-hmm. Or they'll delete your comment. They'll block mm-hmm. you. They'll do whatever they need to do so that those questions aren't being brought up. And I mean, there's your answer right there. Mm-hmm. But for so many people, they come into this and it's free for them to go in and out. One of the things that I think that they're really good at is they make you seem like you're free, but mm-hmm. you're not. They have you by your, they'll take your money from you because there's nothing that she can't do any of this, or they, I should say, can't do any of this without the patrons, without the people, the donors, without the celebrity endorsements. Like mm-hmm. they can't do any of it without them.
Yeah.
So I think one of the major things is like, if you're not being physically, mentally, or verbally abused, ask yourself, are you being spiritually abused? Mm-hmm. Is there something that's happening to you that feels off? Mm-hmm. Or are you asking questions and they're scapegoating and they're like denying those questions or whatever? Because then there's something going on that's much deeper. For those that are currently in it, one of the main reasons why I realized that this was a cult after I got out of it, although so many people when I was in it were telling me that this is a cult, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm mm-hmm. in it. Like,
right.
I'm not going to listen yep. to you until I'm out. So once it hit me when I was out that this was a cult, it was really when the book came out and my friends are saying, but the teachings, I'm going to trust in the teachings. I don't need to follow the teacher. I need to follow the teachings. Mm-hmm. But who created these teachings? Mm-hmm. The abuser.
Right.
It's really amazing to see when things change because of the work that everyone's doing. People have been really great as far as lending support. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the forces of good are not as loud as the troll accounts, like mm-hmm. taking up comment sections. But yeah, it's just interesting because real life and the internet are kind of the same thing at this point because of the pandemic. And it's interesting to see how much of a role these companies' social media presence will play in exactly what is going on with them. Mm-hmm. So I really do think that the time is right for becoming more active on social media.
Absolutely. And listen, we're also going to add on the links to the articles that have been written about this. And
yes,
there was a piece done on Vice. So let you know, like, we're going to have all that on Mike's blog.
Great to spread those around.
And
definitely.
Yes, and the article and the newest information regarding this organization, cult, yoga studio. So listen, Nicole, Becky, thank you so much for reaching out to us and for the work that you're doing.
And thank you for being so brave to speak up and stand up, because that's not the easiest thing to do. We really understand that. And taking a stand and doing what you believe is right for the right reasons is a very, very admirable thing. And you both deserve great admiration for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will continue to do. So thank you on behalf of all the victims.
Yes, and thank you.
We look to folks like you for the energy that keeps us going. It really propels us to speak up and try to do what we know is the right thing. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Becky, and thank you, Nicole, and to all those who will continue to fight this good fight here. And thank you all for listening. Until next time, goodbye.
Bye.